This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In the last few weeks, I've been talking with Li Jiaping of the Listening Tree about the steps to create a great brand, from clearly understanding what your organization wants to do, why you want to do it, and then the values of the organization. It's followed up with the realization of your brand promise and brand values, and they give birth to the five P's: products, processes, the people, the place, and the publicity. So, Jiaping, now that the organization is done, and
so it has its strategy now.
Yeah,
it looks great on paper. Now what?
Yeah, where do we go from here?
Well, I think that the first thing that you need to do is understand who your brand interacts with. So we call them brand touch points. So employees, customers, suppliers, partners, media, community, alumni, shareholders, government bodies, those are all your possible touch points.
I understand all the touch points, but as a business, what do you mean by alumni?
Well, certain organizations get to a size where people leave them, but in a good way. So, you know, they decided that, you know, their journey has taken a different turn, or they want to experience something else. But what you want to do is keep them in the loop so that later on you can still offer them jobs if other positions come up. Or, you know, I've had lots of clients who have had returning employees, people that they really valued but had to let go because their life journey was going another way. But it doesn't mean that they won't come back.
Nothing's permanent.
Yes, and keeping an alumni kind of database means that you tell them about the news, you keep them in touch, and sometimes your alumni become your clients.
And they can also be your network to new employees or to new contacts.
Yes, you should never lose touch with your past employees.
As a matter of fact, I think I know somebody who is with Nestle or who was with Nestle but continues to be part of its network, even though they've left the employment.
And the great thing is because they know you already. There's none of that cost that will go to retraining, organizing them into the whole culture of your brand. So you save time if you rehire ex-employees.
Yeah, we have kind of digressed a bit and focused on one specific group. In the context of working with your touch points, are there things to consider so that you have a consistent message throughout?
Yeah. So the most important touch point, I feel, is your employees. I always ask people...
Not your customers.
Well, you see, this is a very novel way of management. And I followed the Southwest Airlines way, which talks about if you treat your employees right, they will in turn delight your customers. When your customers are delighted, they come back for more. And at the end, when they come back for more, they generate revenue for you. And ultimately, the shareholders
will benefit
from this revenue. So in Southwest Airlines, the CEO spends roughly 85% of their time with the employees. There is a debate between who's more important, the customer or the employees. I'm more, you know, towards your employees are your biggest assets. So why are you not spending time with them?
So you're spending time with them because that's your priority touch point.
Yeah, those are your soldiers. Those are the ones that are going to be delivering your brand. And in any organization, the people on the front line. So if you're a manufacturer, the factory workers. Without them, you've got no product. Customer service, the front line. Without them, you've got no sell.
Sounds like an issue for HR.
You can't separate brand from HR because who delivers your brand? Your people. Who builds your brand equity? Equity is derived from the experience with the brand and how much someone wants to buy your brand or your products and services, and how much do you have in terms of a loyalty base where you have repeat customers. So it lowers risk. So when you lower risk, you are actually a much stronger brand.
It's interesting, you know, when we talk about having your values and your mission statement, then you have your five P's. And in a sense, they come out of those that brand promise. But in this context of the touch points, you say the employees are a touch point.
Yes.
And yet it's the employees who are part of the chain of the touch points to customers and to suppliers.
They're the be all and the end all, really. So if you don't understand that you have a huge duty towards your employees to nurture them so that you retain them in a way that makes them feel that they belong and they're rewarded, you're not going to get the great brand that you want to be.
So with all the various groups you have, you know, we mentioned employees, customers, government bodies, shareholders, alumni, partners, community, media, suppliers, your suggestion is focus on the internal first.
Yeah. So I always talk about limited resources. We only have this much time, this much money. So focus. If you can, maybe in a year, focus on two or three touch points that you want to build on. Maybe it's employees, customers, and partners who help you deliver your brand. There are suppliers and then there are partners. I work with a lot of partners who deliver my brand. Therefore, I need to make sure that we're of the same value. We believe in the same things and we operate on certain things using the same values that are similar. So there's none of this conflict that will happen.
In fact, not too long ago, I had a discussion with a company that produces paper products. And one of the things that they are doing is talking to their supply chain so that they together can bring about sustainability within their industry. Because, you know, paper products require trees. And if my suppliers don't share those kinds of values, then...
Yes. We had one client who really wants to be a leader in design and development. So what they do is they work with a whole range of partners. And because their brand values is about nurturing and growing, what they've done is they've gone to their partners and they've taught their partners new ways of thinking, innovative ways. You know, they've gone in and actually helped them rethink their processes. It's like how Steve Jobs went to Corningware and said, I need a glass for my phone. I want you to come up with it. You know, and challenge Corningware to come up with something and look at the phenomenon that is the iPhone and the iPad.
We think that communication must be consistent, but then you have all these various audiences.
Yes.
From customers to employees to media and suppliers. How do you manage to keep this thing consistent when these are various and different audiences?
Well, you know, what you do is that's the beauty of emotions. Because you can have different ethnic groups, you can have different beliefs, culture, all of that. But at the end of it, we all feel certain sets of things, right? We all feel like we belong or don't belong. We all feel happy or sad. So we have common feelings. And so what you do is you talk to them in a way that targets the feelings that you want to target and using the same message. The best brand that has done this in terms of consistency is Coca-Cola. When Coca-Cola started all those years ago advertising on TV, and I think they were one of the first, they talked about, I like to teach the world to sing. And if you looked at the ads, they had a diverse ethnicity in the ads. I think it was unseen of, right? And now they've done this America the Beautiful ad using different languages to sing the song. Fast forward 60 years almost, and they're singing the same message, but just using different ways of applying it.
This one seems to me quite simple because, simple, of course, within quotation marks, they are dealing with one audience. In a sense, it's for the consumer. Very clear. Right. So what would this message be internally?
So let's just say if diversity is your value. So what happens is when you hire, you make sure there's a good mix, right? I think here we're starting to see the value of diversity in our shopping malls. Back then when, you know, you had too much of one race manning a shop, what happens during Chinese New Year, Hari Raya? Total shutdown.
Especially factories.
But now you have diversity, you can actually minimize downtime because you can still make sure that people are taken care of and they can go off on their leave and yet still produce things and sell. So diversity, if that is your value, that is how you make it work internally and externally. You know, we talked about branding on a bigger scale. When you focus branding into your internal, I would say you need to write out an employee value proposition. An employee value proposition
is
what you offer. As part of your contract. Even before I come to work with you, I already know what I'm going to get. Now, the best brand that has talked about this, made it all very transparent, is Google. If you Google people, right?
Tongue twister there.
Yes. You immediately know what it's like to work for Google. And then you immediately know what's on offer for you as a Googler. And they always talk about the Googler culture, right? You know, if you don't know the culture, you're not a Googler. So all this language is mired, but they show it to you right up front. They show you all the different people that work there. They show you what kind of things that stimulate them. So each person talks about, you know, diversity is very important. You know, we're all about innovation and challenges. And then you see the perks. So all of this make up the employee value proposition. And what happens then is you become a pull brand. Every time you advertise, you don't have to worry about not being able to find the right person because they are oversubscribed by, you know,
you have such an
five,
employer,
6 times.
Employer brand that people
That's
are
right.
drawn to.
So great employer brands also become great brands in themselves in terms of revenue.
How much should a company set aside for this kind of branding at the touch points? You choose certain touch points that you want to focus on, but still you need a budget. What yeah. kind of budget?
So a lot of people tend to budget for external MarCom communications exercises. I feel that they should spend about 30-40% of that, or maybe add on. Don't reduce the MarCom external budget. Put in about 10-20% for internal.
It's cheaper, huh?
It's cheaper because you don't have to use TV. You don't have the media buys. You just set up an internal communication channel. Coming back to Southwest, what they do is they form culture committees. Culture committees are groups of people who go around, you know, saying they have three values: fun, loving spirit, warrior spirit, fun, loving attitude. And then they use that to get the culture committee to go there and infuse that all the time. So one of the great ones is they actually provide lunch and clean up the planes for the stewardesses when it lands, because, you know, the turnaround time is so quick that stewardesses don't have time to eat by the time it's time to reload the plane and fly off again.
I'm talking to Lee Japing from The Listening Tree, enhancing your brand at the touch points. Coming up, the question of trust. This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're tuned to Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with Lee Japing of The Listening Tree. Japing, what's the connection between the touch points and trust?
The connection between that is really at the leader's level. Are the leaders saying and doing the same thing? If you say my brand is about nurturing, caring, and developing people, and you only spend 1% of your budget developing people, then, you know, it's just something nice to say, not something that you really want to do. You know, some people say that they want to be a dynamic brand, but their computers are outdated. And when your computers are outdated, how do you think the customer service delivery will be? So you're going to get a lot of frustrated people. I mean, I've been, you know, being served at a customer point and system is down. You've been there, right?
Yeah,
system is
rosa.
Down. Everybody is so frustrated and stressed, right? And you go again and the same thing happens. Now, if this happens over and over again, do you think that you're actually a dynamic brand? Even though you've advertised that, oh, we're excellence, we're dynamic. So in that very simple case study, that brand is not walking the talk. Internally, if you say you're dynamic, are you hiring dynamic people? So, you know, if you look at Zappos, everybody's a little bit weird because that's their value, right? A little bit weird. And they make sure when they interview, they look out for that weirdness. So what happens is they ask people to submit videos that shows what they're like and also shows their weirdness. And only then will you get then selected to be interviewed. So, you know, A, that's walking the talk. But the most important thing is, with your values, with your brand promise, how does a leader react during crisis? That's the most important thing.
But on a day-to-day basis, what do you do as a brand to create that trust?
Well, it's called consistency. It's called doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's like if you have a child, right? And you say to your child, don't lie. And they go, mommy, why? You know, and it's all because, you know, it's not nice to lie. And then the child sees you telling a white lie. Now, that's going to be really confusing for the child, right? It's the same with organizations. If your leader says one thing and does another, there is no trust.
But there's always this issue of interpreting what is being done. You know, it's not so, I mean, as adults, we all come with different baggages. We all understand and experience the world differently. So when a message is communicated that we are transparent, we are egalitarian, each of us, based on our experiences, will say, yeah, egalitarian. I've seen companies that say they are egalitarian. This is how they behave. So I come in with that kind of expectation. Maybe if I'm Gen Y, I just say, egalitarian. Whoa, I can do anything.
Yeah. So A, that's why during the values time, rewind back to brand strategy. In your value statement, you have to be very clear how to define words like egalitarian, because they're very big words and not everybody may understand it. You know, you must define what is excellence and what is excellence benchmarked with. So it's really nice to have these great words, but what is the benchmark? And at the end of the day, you need to measure. Some people say, if you can't measure it, it's not worth the paper that's written on. So what are you measuring egalitarian with? What are you measuring excellence with?
So for instance, you know, with our station, we have the word entertain. One of the functions of our shows, regardless of the fact that we are informing and educating, like we're talking about,
Yes. You
know, branding. So we're educating SMEs about how to brand. So when we have entertain as part of this, how do we evaluate that? We've been talking. I am quite sure we are educating.
Yes, but we're not sure whether we're entertaining,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we hope that we can entertain in some ways. But, you know, when you're talking about these type of programs where you're educating, you have to know how to split your, what is that? Educating is a brand promise? So you have three, right? Educate, entertain, and enlighten. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. So you
I find educate and enlighten might be the same. I mean, they share.
Again,
they
it
overlap.
Depends. You know, if you're a yogi, enlighten means totally different things than, you know, a CEO. You know, enlightened just means that everybody's happy working productively, you know, and they're cared for. So that's two versions of enlightenment, which is why it's all in the definition. You have to define it. Many people have five values. Zappos has 10. You need to be able to hire people who understand when to use the right promise or values at what time. I can be zany, but if I'm doing accounting, I can't be zany at accounting.
And be weird.
I can't be weird. I can't do creative accounting because that may not be legal. Everything needs to be put in perspective. So what you need to do is you need to teach people or hire people who just know how to put things in perspective. And then you go through orientation, you explain, you communicate over and over and over again, right? And I think a lot of leaders don't communicate enough.
To generate the kind of trust, the trust is created at the touch points. At the touch points, we have the experience. From the perspective of a brand experience, that experience, regardless where you are, which touch point you are, that needs to be consistent.
Yes. Let's just take BFM. If they say educate, enlightened, and entertained, on the employee's touch point, I'd ask you, how are you going to do that? What programs are you going to develop internally to make sure that your employees are educated and entertained?
Your employees are educated and entertained, not your listeners.
Well, also, and then because your listener is part of your touch point, how are they educated and entertained? How are the people that give you money, because you're a media channel, do you educate and entertain them? Are there, you know, customer programs for your sponsors, for your partners, people like me? How do you educate and entertain me? So I'm quite easy.
Bring you coffee.
Bring me coffee, exactly. And immediately I'm entertained, right? Or, you know, I come in and there's this great camaraderie in the office and immediately I'm entertained. So that's culture. So I think BFM has done quite a good job there. But I'm not saying that, you know, it's perfect. Of course, everything is a work in progress.
Now that we've come to the end of these 5 weeks, to summarize this thing.
So first thing we did was we looked at what were our strengths and challenges. Very important. You've got to know what your good points and your not so good points are, your challenges. From there, you know what to fix. So you create a strategy to actually look at building the strengths and overcoming challenges. So your strategy is, you know, your whys. Why are you in business, which is your essence? What do you promise all your touch points? What are your values that deliver and guide behavior that set the culture? And what is the personality that you're going to project onto the world, which is how do your ads look? What is the tone and manner of your logo? And finally, today, we're now looking at how do you then implement it with all your touch points. So employee value proposition is very important. And also making sure that everything is consistent so you garner trust.
What we are talking about is the actions that we can take. It's about executing.
Exactly. If you don't execute, then it's just nice paper on the wall. You know, nice frames. Yes.
Li Jiaping, managing partner of The Listening Tree. Thank you so much for being so generous. With your information and about how to create a brand, how to enhance it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Marketing Mojo and Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.